This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
All right, it's 1848 on the line. I'm joined by Dr. Roelof Botha, who's the economic advisor to the Optimum Group and also economist. And he's warned that South Africans are paying way too much for certain items because of the very high interest rates. He's saying that these high interest rates are unnecessarily harsh. And he joins us now to help us unpack this based on the fact that globally, we're having a conversation about interest rates being high for even longer than what we initially thought. Dr. Botha, a pleasure. Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for talking to us this evening, Dr. Botha. You've been very vocal about the issue of high interest rates and how detrimental they've been to our economy as well as ordinary citizens. And you continue to be vocal about it. But it seems we're still exactly where we've been for a while.
Yes, in fact, we are in a much worse position, and I'm talking when I say we about your median South African household, than we were before COVID. And that's the real tragedy of the foolishness of the Monetary Policy Committee of the Reserve Bank. Because I want to just remind the listeners of what the prime overdraft rate was before the COVID pandemic hit us. So in the first quarter of 2020, the prime overdraft rate was 10%. I think many of those listeners that have bonds will remember those days, good old days. And at the time, many economists, including myself, were critical of the Reserve Bank policy because we thought it was too restrictive. And I'll tell you why, because the inflation rate was just about 5%. It was in that vicinity. So we had a real interest rate. That's now the interest rate, the prime 10% minus the inflation rate of 5, it gives you a 5% real interest rate. Whereas the rest of the world had real interest rates of somewhere between -1 and +2, most of our trading partners. And when Jill Marcus, the previous governor of the Reserve Bank, when she was in charge, the real interest rate on average during her tenure was only 3%, and we had 3% real growth almost per annum. Then the new MPC came in, appointed by Mr. Zuma, and within 2 years, they raised the real interest rate to 6%. And at the time, just before COVID, it was 5%. Now, we have a real, we have a prime overdraft rate, as we all know, the people with credit and bonds, of 11.75%. The inflation rate is still just about 5%. It's comfortably in the target rates. So now we have a real interest rate of 6.5%. So what has happened? Despite the economy still battling to get over the COVID pandemic, the Reserve Bank is just squeezing us more and more and more for no particular reason, because we do not have demand inflation. I'm very, very frustrated, I must say.
I can tell, Dr. Botha, and I really want to get into actually some of the arguments that have emerged from the Reserve Bank here. And maybe the first one is the fact that the issue of inflation is more of a concern to the South African society than interest rates, and that it is better to focus on inflation than it would be to focus on interest rates. I'm keen to get your thoughts on this one, you know, that not really doing what we can for inflation is more detrimental to the South African society than high interest rates.
They always have the same argument. But when if they were to go to the trouble of reading carefully their mission statement, which is the same as every central bank in the world that is functional, those in Venezuela and Zimbabwe are not really functional. But in any event, it says that, yes, they must conduct monetary policy in such a way that they try to keep inflation low. To the extent that they can do that, they have very limited instruments. But the second part of this mission statement is that they must try to preserve positive economic growth and employment creation. And that is where they are failing South Africa dismally. We have one of the highest unemployment rates in the world. The United States has virtually zero unemployment if you factor in the issue of voluntary unemployment. They've got no unemployment. They can afford to raise their interest rates. And we just follow their suit. It is just absolutely crazy as far as I'm concerned. Because the biggest mistake they're making is that in the past, if inflation was comfortably in the target range of 3 to 6%, that's where they want inflation to be. Now, all of a sudden, they want it to be 4.5%. Now, I can guarantee you that if you were to have a quiz or a poll amongst the economists in South Africa with sufficient experience in asking whether it's possible for any length of time to keep a country in Africa's inflation rate at 4.5%. They will tell you that, you know, you must take a fly over the cuckoo's nest a little bit more, a little bit longer. I mean, it's just impossible. So inflation is comfortably in the target range. People are suffering out there. On your average bond, administered by Better Bond, people are now paying 4,000 Rand a month more every month. Money that could have been spent in the economy, which would have resulted in higher taxes, and which would have resulted ultimately in higher growth and job creation.
I must ask you also, Dr. Bertha, about the argument that price stability is achieved through the protection of our local currency, the Rand there, you know, and the issue of the interest rate differential being really a part of the argument as well for higher interest rates.
You see, the dilemma facing us and the Monetary Policy Committee, the Reserve Bank is a fantastic institution. I just want to tell the listeners there's nothing wrong with the Reserve Bank as such. It is just the Monetary Policy Committee, five individuals who apparently don't understand economics, because our inflation, the inflation that we were suffering from, the higher inflation the last 2 years, had nothing to do with demand inflation. And interest rates cannot reduce global freight shipping charges. What happened between the end of 2019 and the end of 2021 is that global freight shipping charges by ship increased by 700% because of harbor closures due to the COVID pandemic and the lockdowns. And that has normalized now. And also there was an increase in the Brent oil price from under $40 a barrel to 110, inter alia thanks to Mr. Putin's military aggression in Ukraine. Now, these issues cannot be solved with higher interest rates. It does absolutely nothing. They cannot force shipping companies or harbors to open and close. They are not interpreting inflation the right way. And I'm not the only economist that's critical of them. But I don't work for a financial institution, so I'm not scared of them.
I must ask you also, Dr. Puerta, here about the conversation we're having globally here, that inflation is proving to be stickier than expected. And higher for longer seems to be the narrative. And we were talking about higher for longer at the end of last year. But now we're speaking about even higher for longer than that. With the number of possible interest rate cuts falling, I think initially we know we had numbers like 5 and 7 flying around. Now possibly 1 or 2. Is it possible that South Africa may not cut interest rates in 2024?
It would be a grave mistake, and I know that that discussion or those comments have been made by certain people that call themselves analysts. I wish they would rather explain to the Reserve Bank the nature and causes of inflation. Because, and this is what is so unbelievably frustrating. If you look at the capacity utilization in our manufacturing sector, which is a huge sector, now what that means is that it means if you, for instance, have a factory with 10 machines that produce things, and two of them are standing idle, then your capacity is at 80%. 8 out of 10 are working. That's quite a simple sum. Now, currently in South Africa, the capacity utilization in manufacturing is lower. It's lower than it was before COVID. And the main reason for that is a lack of demand. So, and this is the paradox. If the Reserve Bank were to lower rates and people start buying more stuff and factories produce more, then that capacity utilization increases, and it means that they spread their overhead costs, their fixed costs, over a larger number of units. So the Reserve Bank can actually lower inflation, cost push inflation, by lowering interest rates. But perhaps they must come to some of my lectures that I can explain this to them.
Before I let you go, Dr. Bertha, I'm actually keen to find out what the appropriate reaction would have been here when we saw inflation spiking just after COVID-19 and when the Russia-Ukraine conflict emerged. What would have, in your opinion, been the right way for the Reserve Bank and the MPC in particular to deal with the inflation that we were seeing?
I would, in the utmost case, in the worst case scenario, I would have raised the prime rate via the repo. Obviously, the repo rate needs to increase. They increase the repo rate, but the prime follows immediately afterwards with a differential of 3.5 percentage points. I would have raised it maybe to 10%, not 11.75, but I would have started lowering it the minute I saw the reasons for the higher inflation starting to diminish. And one point that we haven't spoken about is the dramatic drop in the food price index, which comprises with beverages 21%, more than a fifth of the consumer price index basket. And that has dropped like a stone, and it will continue dropping. So I'm really optimistic that we will have inflation dropping below 5% within the next month or two, and which should lead to lower interest rates. But all I'm actually pleading for is that they return to the same policy that we had with the previous Monetary Policy Committee, mm-hmm. of targeting, not targeting inflation, but targeting a real prime rate of 3%. In that case, you would take the current inflation rate, 5.3, plus 3, that gives you 8.3%. They rounded off to the nearest quarter. So I would, if I had been governor, the prime overdraft rate would now be 8.25%. And we would have higher growth, and we would have more employment creation in this country. I can guarantee you that.
Well, I suppose that's all we have time for this evening. Thank you so much for this conversation. And I hope, as the data emerges from Statista and from the Reserve Bank, we'll continue talking about this one.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Roelof Botha. He's economist and economic advisor to the Optimum Group there.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.